The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter Number 7, Texts Number 17 and 18, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on July 6th, 2008, in Atlanta, Georgia, USA.
So today we are reading text number, it's in the 1st Canto, 7th Chapter, Texts Number 17 and 18. Since 18 has the purport, that one we will chant congregationally. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So first I will read text 17 with no repetition, and we will move to the next. Iti priyang valgu vichitra jalpai sashantavyat vyachuta mitrasuta anvadrava dhangshita ugradan va kapidvajo guru putram dritena. Arjuna, who is guided by the infallible Lord as friend and driver, thus satisfied the dear lady by such statements. Then he dressed in armor and armed himself with furious weapons, and getting into his chariot, he set out to follow Ashvatthama, the son of his martial teacher. Tam apatantang savilakshadurat. Kumaraho vigna manajatena paradravat prana paripsha urvyang yavangamang rudravayad yataka. Translation by, in purport by Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Savior of the whole universe, Prabhupada ki jai. Ashvatthama, the murderer of the princes, seeing from a great distance Arjuna coming at him with great speed, fled in his chariot, panic-stricken, just to save his life as Brahma fled in fear from Shiva. Purport. According to the reading matter, either ka or arka, there are two references in the Puranas. Ka means Brahma, who once became allured by his daughter and began to follow her, which infuriated Shiva, who attacked Brahma with his trident. Brahmaji fled in fear of his life. As far as Arka is concerned, there is a reference in the Vamana Purana. There was a demon by the name Vidyumali, who was gifted with a glowing golden airplane, which traveled to the back of the sun, and night disappeared because of the glowing effulgence of his plane. And thus the sun god became angry, and with his virulent eyes he melted the plane. This enraged Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva then attacked the sun god, who fled away, and at last fell down at Kashi, Varanasi, and the place became famous as Lolarka. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. So Arjuna was not going to tolerate this. Of course, we are not Kshatriyas. So, as we were discussing yesterday, and Brahmins don't do these things. This is for Kshatriya class to punish the miscreant. The Brahmin is very tolerant and forgiving for the offenses of others. But he's very intolerant of his own nonsense. As Prabhupada explains, strict with himself and lenient with others. One who is actually a Vaishnava Brahmin, he is very, very strict with himself. This strict sadhana is very important. Many of our members say they are having difficulty in Krishna, in being fixed in Krishna consciousness. I hear this many places. Why? Because they don't have good sadhana. It's simple thing. It's very simple. The stricter you are in your sadhana, the better you will be fixed in Krishna consciousness. If your sadhana is loose, your consciousness will be weak. If your sadhana is strong, your consciousness will be fixed. So it's a matter of how hard we're willing to work to have good sadhana. Are we more interested to rise early and complete our japa nicely? Or are we more interested for sleeping business? You see, that's a choice each one of us has. So however much we are willing to conquer our senses and engage them in Krishna's service, to that extent, we will taste the nectar of Krishna consciousness. As you sow, so shall you reap. Ye yatamang prapadyante tangstataiva bhujamyaham. Inasmuch as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. So how much reward do we want? That's up to each one of us to decide. Now we explained this point the other day. How much reward do we want? How much Krishna do you want? You want 1% Krishna, 2%? You decide how much Krishna you want. Do you want the full Krishna? Or do you want part of Krishna only? How much Krishna do you want? Well, whatever amount you want, that much you have to surrender. Simple thing. How much nectar do you want? You want unlimited nectar? Or would you prefer a blend of nectar and poison? That choice each one of us can make. That choice each one of us does make. So, to whatever degree we surrender to Krishna, to that degree we will taste nectar every minute. Narottam Das Thakur, he is taking our position. In his wonderful, wonderful song, Hari Hari Bipale, He is in roundabout way describing us. Although I've come to this human form, my Lord, I've spent my life uselessly. I did not care for Radha and Krishna, and so I swallow poison knowingly. Hare Krishna mantra comes straight from Krishna Loka. But with chanting, I have no connection. Day and night, I am burning in this dark world without working to make the correction. Lord Krishna comes as Sachi's son. Balaram descends as Nitai. By chanting, the wretched have all been saved, including Jagai and Madai. O my Lord, O son of King Nanda, together with Vrishabhanu's daughter, I've got no shelter but Radha and Krishna. Humbly praise Narottam Das Thakur. So this is the most wonderful prayer sung in Bengali language, Hari Hari Bipale, by Narottam Das Thakur. He is lamenting that even though I have gotten this human life, I am knowingly drinking poison, you see. I am burning in this dark world without working to make the correction. He is describing our position. Instead of pointing the finger at us, he's very humbly pointing it at himself to, in a roundabout way, show us our position, you see. That is his humbleness, his sweetness. He is showing us our position. Knowingly, we are drinking poison. By not fully embracing this process of Krishna consciousness. So the acharyas, they are imploring us. Mahajano yena gatasya panta, they are imploring us to seriously take this pathway. These great Mahajanas. Svayambhur Nadara Shambhu, Kumaro Kapilomanu, Pralado Janako Bhishmo Balarvaya Sakirvayam. These 12 great Mahajanas listed in Bhagavatam. They are imploring us. These great acharyas, they have blazed the trail through the wilderness of this material world so that we can easily go back to home, back to Godhead. But we have to follow that pathway, you see. If we proudly think, no, I will do it my way, you see. The spiritual master gives an instruction and we think, well, no, I'll do it my way. See, my way means we are off the highway. If we follow the spiritual master who is representing the acharyas, by following the spiritual master, then we are on the highway, back to home, back to Godhead. But if we think, no, I will do it my way, then we're off the highway. My way means off the highway. You understand? Instead of doing it my way, we have to see, what does my spiritual master want me to do? Let me do it his way. Because he is purely representing these great Mahajanas. If we follow our acharya, our spiritual master, then we are solidly situated in the pathway back to home, back to Godhead. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada so wonderfully explains. I remember this verse came up one time. I was giving a lecture in Tallinn, Estonia. And it was such a wonderful purport. Prabhupada explains that the disciple should always meditate on the orders received from his spiritual master. And then Prabhupada carried it a step further. He said he should always worship the orders of his spiritual master. They are sacred. Whatever instructions you receive, it is sacred. It's just like we worship the deities on the altar. You can put the orders you have received from your spiritual master on the altar of your heart and do puja to those orders. By fully surrendering yourself to those instructions, you are doing puja on the altar of your heart where those instructions should be placed. Every order you have received from your spiritual master, place it on the altar of your heart and then do constant puja to that altar by obeying those instructions, you see. If you do this, then you'll be tasting the sweetest nectar at every minute. You will not be touched by this material nature. You will no longer feel the pinches of the material nature if you do this. This is the process of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means to become completely free from material consciousness. Completely, totally free from it. Material consciousness is miserable. Material consciousness means identification with the body and with the mind. It is a miserable state to be in. Very miserable state. Krishna consciousness means to simply identify as a spirit soul only, with not even a pinch of material identification. That's Krishna consciousness. We think, well, I have to be comfortable and, you know. But actually, you don't require so much arrangements for material comforts as you think you do. Some is there, obviously. We have to keep our body healthy. That's all right. But we carry it too far. That's the problem. We carry it too far. And that makes us miserable. We have to focus on finding our happiness in our relationship with our spiritual master, our relationship with Krishna, our relationship with Vaishnavas. That's where we should focus on finding our happiness, not in the material arrangements. Because I can guarantee you this, you can have the nicest material arrangements in the whole world, even up to the planet of Brahmaji, where they have inconceivably nice material arrangements. But what does Krishna say? You know that verse. Abhama bhuvana loka punaravartin arjuna mamupechitakonteya punarjanmanavijite. Even if you go all the way to Brahma's planet where they have inconceivable material facilities, still it's a miserable place. Can you imagine even Brahmaji's planet is miserable? They don't even have terrorists up there, you see. They're free of so many anxieties we have on this planet. They don't have AIDS, they don't have terrorists, they don't have criminals. But still, it's miserable. Can you imagine? They have long lives. They live for trillions of years. 311 trillion years lifespan with full energy. They don't have hospitals up there for the people, cancer wards and tuberculosis wards in Brahmaloka. But still it's miserable. Can you imagine? So we really have to be convinced that we're not going to find it in this material world. We're not going to find any real happiness here. Any happiness we can get here is illusory. Simply illusion. Maya sukaya. Therefore, we have to go for that happiness, which is spiritual happiness. Is it in effect? Spiritual happiness is where it's at. What is spiritual happiness? To please my guru, to please Krishna, to please Srila Prabhupada. This is spiritual happiness. Spiritual happiness means you don't live for your own happiness. You live for the happiness of Krishna, the happiness of Guru. And this is actually living for your own happiness, but in a much better way. It's not that we don't live for our happiness, but we do it as secondary enjoyers, not primary enjoyers. That's the key. The devotee intelligently knows how to actually enjoy by always pleasing Krishna. There's a story, and Guru, there's a story one time. He was in India, the Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur was there, surrounded by his disciples, and it was very, very hot, and there was no air conditioning. So they just started fanning Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati to make him comfortable. And as soon as he felt comfortable, everybody else felt comfortable too. So as soon as you please Krishna, then you become pleased. All you have to do is please Krishna. All you have to do is please your spiritual master who represents Krishna. And then automatically you become pleased.
When Prabhupada was physically manifest, we lived to see his smiling face, that he was pleased with us. We lived for that. That was the purpose of our life, just to make Prabhupada smile with pleasure upon us, you see, that he's pleased with us. That was our life, you see. If we can just somehow please Srila Prabhupada. Of course, it is not that he is dead and gone. Srila Prabhupada is still here for those who have the understanding of how to connect with him through his teachings, in which he is fully and most powerfully manifest. So we can still get the smiling glance of Srila Prabhupada upon them. How? We please his representative. We please our spiritual master. You see, that's how we can please Srila Prabhupada, see his pleasure. And when we see that we've pleased our guru, then we know that Prabhupada is pleased. This point I'm making, it is confirmed by Srila Prabhupada. The devotees asked him, because in those days Prabhupada was traveling, it's a huge movement, and you would hardly see him. So they would say, Srila Prabhupada, how do you know if we're pleasing you or not? He said, the temple president and the GBC are there. So Prabhupada took it that if you can please my representative, the temple president or the GBC, then you're pleasing me. So the idea is, if you please the representative of the spiritual master, then that pleases the spiritual master. So your initiating guru, you see, your Diksha guru, he is Prabhupada's representative. So if you can please him, then you're pleasing Prabhupada. And if you're pleasing Prabhupada, you're pleasing Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. If you're pleasing Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, then who are you pleasing? Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. If you're pleasing him, then you're pleasing Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and you're pleasing Jagannath Das Babaji. You get the idea. You're pleasing. If you can just please your personal spiritual master, then you will please all the acharyas, all the way back to Krishna himself. So just see the potency of pleasing your spiritual master. Just imagine if you can please all these great personalities, how much happy you will feel, how much mercy you will come showering down upon you from them, you see. So therefore, the purpose of the existence of the disciple is simply to please their spiritual master. That's the whole purpose of their existence. Because by doing that, then all perfection is achieved. All perfection is attained simply by pleasing one spiritual master. Simple thing. So in this way, we must understand the science of Krishna consciousness very clearly. There should not be any confusion. So I can ask now if there's any questions. If there's any confusion, yeah. Yeah.
I just go to this verse purport. Vidurmani has got the golden apple from Lord Shiva.
Lord Shiva? You want to know about this pastime?
Yeah,
I don't know anything more than what was written here. These are new pastimes to me. I don't know them. Whatever is written in the purport is all I know. So I don't have any more information than you do on this. Any other questions? Yeah. Yes.
How can the disciple use his intelligence in executing his
If the spiritual master is departed, how can the disciple use his intelligence to do what?
To execute his duties, Krishna conscious duties.
Huh?
To execute the services, Krishna conscious duties.
To execute his own services after the spiritual master is
properly do his service? To please the spiritual master? Well, the instructions are there. Your spiritual master, for example, instructs you to follow Prabhupada's instructions very carefully. So if you read Prabhupada's books and act accordingly, then you're pleasing your spiritual master. Even if he's physically departed, Prabhupada's books are still there. That's whatever personal instructions you have received. If you simply act in accordance with whatever personal instructions you've been given, and whatever instructions have been given by Srila Prabhupada in his books, then you will definitely be pleasing your spiritual master. And you will have the, and it is confirmed in Bhagavatam, I mean to say Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 10, text number 10. Anjeshang satati yuktanang bhajatang prittipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. So if you are simply absorbed 24 hours a day, sincerely in serving Krishna, then Krishna will personally give you whatever intelligence is necessary to do everything properly. So it all boils down to sincerely being engaged 24 hours in Krishna consciousness. Always trying to surrender to Krishna at every minute. If you're doing that, all intelligence you'll have to do everything properly. If you don't have proper intelligence, that means you're not fully absorbed in surrender. You're still thinking, well, maybe sense gratification is better. You see? So one has to kick out such confusion by hearing from the advanced devotees who are convinced that sense gratification is nowhere. You must also become convinced that sense gratification is nowhere, and there is nothing for me saving except pure bhakti from here on.
Some people say that Srila Prabhupada's books may not be very much palatable to the modern days, the present age people.
That means they don't find them palatable. Whoever said that, they're not finding them palatable. They don't accept it. Whoever said that, they don't accept it. They're talking about themselves, whoever said that. They're describing their own heart. They're revealing their own material attachment. Prabhupada's words are dictated by Krishna from within the heart. The words of Krishna have stood the test of time, you see. Bhagavad Gita is just as relishable now, just as nectarian now, just as juicy now, as it was 5,000 years ago when Krishna spoke it to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and as it was millions of years prior to that when Krishna spoke it to the sun god, Vivishvan. So, there is no question of this not being palatable. If someone thinks it's not palatable, that means they haven't realized they are not fixed in Krishna consciousness. For someone who realizes the unlimitedly palatable nature of these books of Srila Prabhupada, they can present it in a very, very palatable way for the general population to appreciate and understand. I'm convinced if we could simply get everyone's attention, we could get everyone attracted to Prabhupada's books. The whole planet would be attracted. It's just a matter of getting their attention long enough to explain it to them, what's actually going on here in Prabhupada's books. Actually, there's nothing more relishable, nothing sweeter, nothing more blissful than to read Prabhupada's books. It's the supreme enjoyment. It's better than football, it's better than ice hockey, it's better than sex. It's a supreme enjoyment to read Prabhupada's books. Better than any pleasure you could ever have, even on Brahmaloka. Any material pleasure. So there's nothing more palatable than reading these books. Whoever said that means they're not tasting the nectar. If they're not convinced, that means they're not tasting it themselves. That means they're committing offenses. Therefore, because of Vaishnava aparad, or this aparad, or that aparad, nam aparads, They are not personally tasting the nectar. So they think, well, nobody else could. You know, misery enjoys company. If I can't taste it, nobody can. They want to blame Prabhupada for their own faults. You see, that's a roundabout way of blaming Srila Prabhupada. Well, he didn't write books that were palatable to them. No, it's your own Narnartas, rascal. It's your own Narnartas. That's why you're not finding it palatable, and why you think it's not palatable for others. If you personally experience the unlimitedly palatable nature of these teachings, then you could explain them in such a way to anyone that that person would also find them very, very palatable. Next question. Yes.
How do you know you have surrendered?
How do you do what? But surrender?
How
do you know how to surrender?
How do you know you have surrendered?
How do you know if you have it?
Correct. If you have surrendered.
Yeah.
And I can elaborate on that.
How do you know if you're surrendered?
If you have surrendered.
If you have surrendered, yes.
And here's an example. Let's say.
It's very simple. You simply ask your spiritual master, my dear Guru Maharaj, do you see that I fully surrendered myself unto you? And he'll tell you. That's the easy way. You just ask him. Of course, not publicly, you know, in a Bhagavatam class. But that's how you would do it. That's one way. That's one easy way. You just ask your spiritual master, do you see, Guru Maharaj, that I fully surrender myself to you? And he'll say yes or no. And if no, he'll tell you in what ways you're not surrendered, so you can rectify your deficiencies. Another way is, as pointed out in the Bhagavatam, bhakti pareshanu bhavavaraktir anyatta chai shatraka eka kalaha prapadnyaman nasha yatasnanashu pushti tushti shudapayo nagasam. That for one who has actually surrendered, it's described what are the symptoms of one who has surrendered. They experience love of Krishna. They become conscious of Krishna within everything. And they become completely detached from all forms of material sense gratification. These are the symptoms of someone who has actually surrendered. So if you're no longer attracted by the material nature, and you're more and more becoming conscious of Krishna within every sight, within every sound, within every experience, you're connecting with Krishna. And if you're feeling more and more love for him, then you know that you're actually successfully surrendering unto his lotus feet. And if you're finding some trouble in those areas, then you know you got some parts of you that are not surrendered, that have to be worked on, that have to be found out and rectified. So that's the test. Bhakti pareshanu bhavavaraktir. Detachment from material sense enjoyment, experiencing Krishna within everything and everything within Krishna, and love of Krishna. Love of Krishna. Krishna bhakti. Yes?
Mm-hmm. And I kind of take the parallel of what happened with the Mahabharata. So if I'm faced with a conflict where I have to stand up and fight, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
how do I know that, because our greatest challenges in lives are our biggest teachers, it's nice if everything is going fine. And if things aren't going fine and you have to stand up, you can't reach out to your guru every 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. And you have to face your daily battles.
Right.
So when you face your daily battles, how do you know you've done the will of God?
How do you know you've done it properly?
Right. Versus yeah.
Well, that's why we have training, you see. That's why Prabhupada instructed all of his disciples, and I instruct all of my disciples. You have to read all the books. Armed with knowledge, stand and fight. See, if you don't have the knowledge, you won't know what you're doing. Just like if somebody, just a mundane example, somebody, wants to be a cook. They have a desire to be a chef at a restaurant. And they just go in and say, okay, I want to be a chef. They say, okay, well, go ahead and cook something. Well, I don't know how to cook. You have to go to chef school first to be qualified chef. So if you want to know how to do bhakti, you have to go to bhakti school. That's what our movement is. ISKCON is bhakti school. You have to be educated in bhakti school. We have a whole system now. Bhakti Shastri training is there, Bhakti Vaibhava, where you become thoroughly trained. So we have our classes, our Bhagavatam classes, we have the books. You have to take training, an ongoing process of training. It's like I've been, even though I'm teaching, I'm still being trained every day by studying these books and by learning, hearing from advanced devotees. I'm still being trained. So I become more and more expert teacher. So you just figure as you that Krishna Ganas means you accept a lifetime of training. Because the more you're trained, the more you become expert to do everything perfectly. In the beginning, you're going to make a lot of mistakes. But you should be observant and see what I did right and what I did wrong. And consult with the scriptures, consult with Vaishnava, consult with Guru about specific situations. And then in this way you can gradually become more and more expert. It's not expected that immediately you'll be expert and do everything right. But if you take up the process as a humble disciple, then gradually you will learn how to do everything expertly in all times, all places, and all circumstances.
So then what I'm hearing is that surrender is following the scriptures. When you met with the challenges of life,
yeah,
on a day-to-day basis, you please your guru and you please Krishna by following the scriptures.
That's right.
And doing the scriptures.
Prabhupada says the center is actually the scriptures. The spiritual master is a living embodiment of the scripture who empowers us to follow the scriptures. It's not that the scriptures are ignored and we just follow the guru, then it's a cult, you see. No, this is not a cult. We are based on the Vedic wisdom. So the spiritual master is your guide to help you become a perfect knower and follower of the scriptures. That's what he's there for. Of course, he's non-different from the scriptures because he's a living embodiment of the scriptures. So we fully surrender to him. And I'm doing that as stated in the Svetashvatara Upanishad, which I'm quoting many times. It's such an important verse. Yasya deve para bhaktir tata deve tata guru tata tasyaite katita hirata prakashante mahatmanaha. By that complete dedication to following the words of your spiritual master and the words of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, then all the spiritual knowledge becomes completely understood by you very clearly. So just obey the words of the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita, obey your spiritual master, and then everything will become clear to you. Just as the sun lights up everything in the daytime, everything will become revealed to you. When you see everything very clearly. There will be no confusion, no illusion, no delusion. All right then. We'll stop here. We thank you all very much. Gandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.